By definition, the church is an assembly. But today is the seventh consecutive Sunday that we've been unable to assemble together because of the COVID-19 virus. Throughout this entire nation, churches everywhere are closed. Well, church buildings are closed. But it's important for us as followers of Christ to recognize that our temple is always open, and it never closes. Let me explain what I mean. Most all religions have some sort of temple mentality. By that I mean that we tend to equate our religion with physical places and rituals. We have the tendency to believe that access to God requires some kind of sacred space like a temple or some holy man like a priest or a pastor to be a go-between between us and God. If this is your way of thinking, then when the church buildings across our nation closed or traditional ways of religion are removed in a cultural context, you can feel like your faith itself is under attack. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus came to destroy this temple mentality. Do you realize that it was an argument over a church building that got Jesus killed? Religious people have a hard time letting go of their buildings. Early in Jesus' ministry, he made clear that God's true temple, or his real house, is not a building, it's a body. He said in John 2, verses 19 to 21, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days?" But when Jesus said, "this temple," he meant his own body. This was the very teaching of Jesus that his enemies used as a charge against him for his execution. Religious people usually don't like it when you mess with their buildings or their traditions. It's true that Jesus did come to destroy the temple, but not the bricks and mortar. He came to destroy the temple mentality that we tend to have when it comes to our religion. He came to tear down the type of idea that your faith and awareness of God should be limited to a single place. Jesus himself claimed to be the temple, the means of access, so that we don't need a physical structure in order to access God. Jesus is himself the temple to end all temples. He is the temple to destroy or replace all temples. Throughout his ministry, he emphasized that access to God is not about location. It's about your motivation. He made clear to the woman at Jacob's well in John 4, "So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while the Samaritans claim that it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshiped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. The Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." You see, Jesus was providing a means of access to God that would be available to anyone at any time and in any place. Instead of going to a physical structure, a temple or a church building, and thinking that's the only correct place for worship, Jesus came to institute a new way of viewing our access to God, that anyone can worship in the truth of the Spirit anytime. This became abundantly clear when the missionary Paul traveled far away from Jerusalem to Athens, Greece. It was in the shadow of a large pagan temple that he said this, "This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need." That's Acts chapter 17, verses 23 to 25. Most religious people and most religions of the world will tell you that you need some kind of priest in order to access God. But Jesus not only came to be a better temple, he came to be a better priest who ushers in a new way of relating to God. The preacher in the book of Hebrews says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises." Hebrews 6 and verse 8. So instead of needing a special place and a holy person in order to access God, now everyone has direct access to relating to God on a personal level through Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer puts it this way, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he didn't sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help when we need it most." Hebrews 4, 14-16. Every follower of Christ is now a priest, and each one of us that is a Christ follower can go directly to God in worship and prayer. There's no special building that's needed, no special training required, no seminary degree mandated, no special clothing demanded. Because Jesus is a better temple and a better priest, you can go confidently and boldly and directly to God's throne to find grace and help that you need yourself. The only sanctuary you need is Jesus himself. In Jesus, the temple is always open. Direct access to God is always available. This was made possible because of Jesus' resurrection, his ascension, and his position at the Father's right hand, mediating for us, and then sending his own Spirit to dwell inside of us and among us as his followers. Jesus made this clear to Mary when she was one of the first to witness his resurrection in John 20. She tries to grab onto Jesus and hold on to him as if she's saying, "I lost you once, and I'm not going to let go of you again." She wanted to have Jesus in a real way. But Jesus provides a means where anyone can have him at any place in the world and at any time. He needed to ascend back to the Father so that he could send someone of greater advantage to you and me. He would send his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that anyone can have Jesus in a much deeper way. You see, there's something vastly better than having Jesus just stand beside you, and that's having Jesus inside of you. As Christianity began spreading throughout the Roman Empire, Christians did not start building church buildings everywhere they went. They didn't start erecting temples because they understood that God's presence did not come to reside in some special structure. Instead, Jesus came to live inside of his people. Jesus dwells individually in the heart of every one of his followers. Our bodies are the temple that houses his presence. Paul put it this way, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." 1 Corinthians 6, 19-21. Whenever and wherever multiple disciples come together, Jesus is in our midst too. 1 Corinthians 3, 16-17 says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you?" Well, what does this mean practically? It means that as a follower of Christ that is indwelt by his Holy Spirit, you are always at the temple. Your body is the temple of his presence. God is near you. He's living inside of you. His Spirit constantly desires to commune with you. He wants you to talk continually with him, to be open and honest with him. He wants you to live a praying life. Deep inside of your heart, God's Spirit calls to you and says, "Come, sit with me, be with me, talk with me." Because you see, your body as a follower of Christ is the temple that houses God's Spirit. The temple is always open. You're always in the temple. And so in the words of Psalm 27 in verse 8, "My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me,' and my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.'" Right now, I think, is the perfect season of life for you and me to take our prayer lives to the next level, to realize the full impact of the fact that we reside in the temple that houses God's Spirit. We live there, and it's always open, and we should commune with God on a daily basis. So this is a perfect opportunity to deepen our spiritual life with God, our personal worship, and our prayer life with Him, to be increasingly filled by His Spirit. It's the ideal chance right now to embrace the gift of God and adopt a praying life.